And Lord willing, next week, I want to spend some time looking together into the second half of Proverbs chapter 3. As we come into this section of Proverbs 3, we come to a passage that outlines some of the benefits of wisdom. The idea of making wise decisions. No matter how wise we might think that we are, I think most of us would probably admit that there's always room for some improvement. In fact, while I was preparing for this morning's lesson, I found this post online. It was made by a friend of mine. And it said, if you don't do anything foolish while you're young, you'll have nothing to smile about when you're old. Now, I don't think that this man was necessarily advocating making unwise decisions. But he was, in fact, acknowledging a truth. We don't always make the best decisions, and maybe even especially when we're young. And what's scary about that idea is that some of our most critical decisions are made when we're young. Some of our most critical decisions are made when we are the least wise. When we're young, we decide what we're going to study in school. We decide whether or not we're actually going to study in school. We choose our friends. We decide on a career. We decide on whether or not we're going to get married. We decide on who we're going to marry, and on the list goes. Many of these decisions are made when we're young. And hopefully, most of us have learned something through some of those unwise decisions. But the point is, in terms of wisdom, there's always room for improvement, not just in our youth, but also as we get older. All of us can use a reminder to make wise decisions. And so this is the question this morning. As we live our lives, will we make our decisions based on the values that we see all in the world around us? Or will we make our decisions based on how God would want us to live? All through the Bible, we see this conflict between a worldly way of thinking and a godly way of thinking. We see it in our scripture reading for this morning, that passage in 1 John chapter 2, where John makes the contrast between a worldly way of thinking and a godly way of thinking. Will we be pulled away by the lust of the flesh, by the lust or the desires of the eyes, or the boastful pride of life? Or will we do the will of God and live forever? We don't always make the right decision. Sometimes we do. But other times we might find ourselves doing the best we can without inviting God into the decision-making process. Sometimes we just act out of impulse. Sometimes we listen to terrible advice. Or maybe we're tempted. For any number of reasons, we allow ourselves sometimes to do some terrible things, especially as adults. All of us have lived long enough to make some really bad decisions. You know, this is why King Solomon writes the book of Proverbs. He's writing this book to his sons as they're growing up, and he's trying to encourage them to make good decisions. You know, we need to hear that, don't we? We need to be reminded. Sometimes we need someone to tell us, make good decisions. Make good decisions. And that's basically the message of the book of Proverbs. Make good decisions. And a good part of this book is dedicated to emphasizing the importance of godly wisdom. I want us to look together this morning at Proverbs chapter 3. We'll be looking at verses 13 through 26 together. And as we look at this message from God, I want us to notice how Solomon points out that wisdom is a blessing. I want us to notice how he emphasizes that true wisdom comes from God. And then I want us to notice that wisdom is a blessing from God that comes with some amazing promises. If you want to follow along with our outline today, I'd suggest you just keep your Bible open there to Proverbs chapter 3, because God has provided a very good structure for our study together today. And as we begin, we notice in verses 13 through 18 that wisdom is a blessing. In verse 13, blessed is the one who finds wisdom. Now, this is the first blessing that we find in the book of Proverbs. And when we look up what this word actually means, it means happy. In fact, there are some translations that have gone ahead and translated it as such. Happy. Happy is the one who finds wisdom. So we're talking about happiness here. And obviously, when we start talking about blessed this and blessed that, we might think about the Beatitudes of Jesus in Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted, and on and on. It's the idea of being happy. Happy are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Happy are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be satisfied, and on and on. We have a similar statement right at the beginning of the book of Psalms. It's how the book of Psalms starts in Psalm 1. How blessed or how happy is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Now I mention these other passages because they have something in common. And what they have in common is this. This happiness, this blessing, comes to those who actually do something to try to be close to God. These blessings come to those who make good decisions. These blessings aren't random. They don't happen by chance, but they come to those who are actively working at these things. And don't we see that right here in the beginning verses of our text this morning? Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit is better than gold. In other words, Solomon is trying to explain to his children that wisdom comes to those who go looking for it. Continuing this idea of wisdom being a blessing, he goes on to explain that wisdom is like a treasure. Verse 15, she is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. So again, wisdom is something we go searching for. We go after it. We work hard to obtain it. There's effort involved. Wisdom is more valuable than silver and gold and jewels. And if we're not searching for wisdom, like we might go searching for silver or gold or maybe our lost cell phone, then we're basically wasting our time. As the world's richest and most powerful man, Solomon wants his children to know this. He wants them to know that godly wisdom is a great blessing. It's the greatest of blessings. Godly wisdom brings true happiness. But we need to go looking for it. We need to put some effort into it. Today, we need to get serious about our study of God's Word. We need to always be pressing towards spiritual maturity, studying on our own, studying with each other, being here for Bible classes and worship services on purpose. Long life is in her right hand, Solomon says in verse 16. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. He goes on to explain in verse 18 that wisdom is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. This takes us back in our minds to the Garden of Eden. Way back at the beginning, God put Adam and Eve in a beautiful garden. And in that garden, He put two trees, the tree of life, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The tree of life gave them the ability to live forever. But God tells them to not eat from that other tree, because eating the fruit of that other tree would bring forth death. Well, of course, they make a poor decision. And they eat from the wrong tree, and they're kicked out of the garden. Death enters into the world. And since that day, we've all been dealing with death. But if we turn from those first few chapters of the Bible all the way over to the very last chapter of the Bible, we have the door to heaven cracked open just a little bit. And John tells us in Revelation 22, verses 1 and 2, that in heaven he sees a river of the water of life, clear as a crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb in the middle of its street. On either side of the river was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. What an amazing picture. In heaven, we'll once again have access to the tree of life. But in the meantime, we have just a small taste of it with godly wisdom. We might think of godly wisdom as a support that holds up a long span, something we might see under a large bridge of some kind. Wisdom is pictured by Solomon as a tree of life. In a sense, we can have a piece of that life right now if we choose to pursue godly wisdom. And so first of all, godly wisdom is a great blessing. Godly wisdom brings happiness. What's all this mean? Well, it means that we need to go looking for it. We need to pursue it. We need to chase it down. We need to put some effort into it. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21, Jesus says, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And what happens? What happens if I get a notification on my phone that a valuable package has been delivered to my house and it's sitting on my front porch? What if it's something I've been waiting on for several weeks? What if it's worth hundreds of dollars, if not thousands of dollars? I know it's sitting there, out there in the open. I'd be thinking about it. I'd be looking forward to getting home to it. I'd be looking forward to digging into it. And the same thing goes for godly wisdom. We need to be constantly thinking about it. We need to be digging into it because godly wisdom is a blessing. It's our access to the tree of life. This is Solomon's first reminder. We go back to our text. We find a second idea here. And Solomon goes on to explain that true wisdom comes from God. And specifically, he points out that true wisdom is demonstrated by God in His creation. He says, "The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. By understanding, He established the heavens. By His knowledge, the deeps broke open and the clouds dropped down the dew." In other words, we see evidence of God's wisdom in the world around us. We see evidence of God's design in what He made, in the heavens, in the earth, in everything around us, even in our own bodies. We think about what David wrote in Psalm 139. He sang out to God, he said, "For you formed me in my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well." We see evidence of God's wisdom in the creation, even our bodies. We're amazed by what God has done for us. We're amazed at what God has done all around us. And so we understand that true wisdom comes from God. Go back once again to our text, and we find a third reminder. And that is, godly wisdom comes with promises. If we live by this wisdom, if we keep these words, Solomon says, first of all, that this wisdom will end up life for your soul and adornment for your neck. That's verse 22. Now, I'm not really into neck adornment. I don't wear necklaces, but I did grow up in the 80s. And so as I was reading this past week, I couldn't help but think about Mr. T. He had some serious neck adornment, didn't he? But the idea here is, if you live by these words, if you live by godly wisdom, you will do well. Solomon also suggests that if we live a life of godly wisdom, then we'll walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. And we know some bad things can happen when we stumble. Sometimes bones will break. We get injured. Of course, Solomon, he's not speaking physically here. He's speaking spiritually. But it's even more significant when we think spiritually. If we live according to God's wisdom, we're not going to get tripped up spiritually. Solomon also says if we live according to God's wisdom, we're not going to be afraid when we lie down. When we lie down, our sleep will be sweet. The older I get, the more I seem to appreciate a good night's sleep. But generally speaking, if we live a life according to God's wisdom, we don't stay awake at night terrified about what might happen in the future, but we rest well. And what a huge blessing that is. We talked earlier about wisdom being more valuable than silver and gold. And I know people who would give all their silver and gold for just one good night of sleep. When we live right, there are some things that we don't have to worry about at night. And that's what Solomon points out in verse 26. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. In other words, if we live by God's wisdom, we don't need to be living in fear of what others might be fearing when they've not been choosing wisely. I point out that Solomon seems to know this from his own personal experience. You know, Solomon experimented with a lot of things. He tried wine. He tried women. He tried wealth. And his conclusion here is that God's wisdom is the only way to go. And so he communicates this to his children. Now after this, starting in verse 27, where we hope to pick up in our study next week, we find a series of do nots. A list of warnings about what not to do. And hopefully we can look at that a little bit next week. But for now, we have these promises. If we live according to God's wisdom, there are some good things that we've been promised here. I don't know whether or not you've noticed this, but we really this morning just been looking at the value of wisdom. We haven't really been looking at what we need to do. Now for that, we look to Jesus. We might say that Jesus is wisdom in the flesh. Jesus is the embodiment of wisdom. And we have a number of passages that refer to Jesus in this way. We think about Luke chapter 2 and verse 40. The child continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. We think about Jesus as a 12-year-old child. Remember how the Bible says in Luke 2 and verse 52 that he kept increasing in wisdom and in stature and favor with God and with man. As he started teaching in the synagogue, the Bible tells us in Mark chapter 6 and verse 2 that many listeners were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? And what is this wisdom given to him? And such miracles as these performed by his hands." It was obvious to those who heard him that his wisdom was supernatural. Later on in Luke 21 and verse 15, Jesus promised his disciples after he left the earth that he would give them words and wisdom which none of your opponents will be able to resist or refute. And then in heaven, we have the elders, we have the angels, we have the living creatures, all praising Jesus as the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Jesus came to this earth as wisdom in the flesh. And we've been studying these words from Solomon. There was a time when Jesus referred back to the wisdom of Solomon. And then he said, referring to himself, "Something greater than Solomon is here." As wisdom in the flesh, Jesus came to this earth to give his life for us. We respond to that with obedient faith. We turn away from sin. We confess Jesus as being the Son of God. We allow ourselves to be immersed in water, to have our sins washed away. And then the Christian life begins. Maybe that's your need this morning. If so, we'd love nothing more than to assist you with your obedience to the gospel. and to continue to help you grow in your faith and your service to God. Or maybe you have something this morning that we need to pray about as a congregation. Maybe there's some sin in your life that you're struggling with, some difficulty that you're facing. Maybe you need the prayers of the church. We want to pray with you this morning. We want to help you this morning, whatever your need may be. Please come while we stand and sing together.